Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat. Welcome along to the final hour of Tip Today. We still have that lovely prize for you in association with our good friends from Shoe For You on O'Connell Street in Clonmel. It's a €50 voucher to celebrate the fact that they're all preparing for summer, and they have fantastic shoes, I'm assured, high heels and low heels and wedges and sandals and loafers and trainers and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, if you want to win a €50 voucher based on your interaction with us by text and a WhatsApp, and just put Shoe For You at the end of your contribution, we will pop you straight away into the draw. We will announce the winner of that in just a little while. Listener says, I emailed every politician in the Dáil yesterday not to pass the Migration Pact, and this is what I wrote. Now, please vote against this bill. The government does not have the mandate for this, and especially this close to a general election. We had a referendum for the Lisbon Treaty. We voted no. In order to get us a vote yes, we negotiated the opt-out so they could get the treaty over the line. Now, the people have already voted on this during that referendum, and what the government is doing is tearing up this negotiated agreement and undemocratically signed the Irish population to a new agreement without our approval. This is outrageous. Referendum now. The government is no longer working on our behalf and should resign, says one of our listeners, who's very, very angry indeed there, as you can imagine. All right, then, it is time for this.
For every problem, there's a solution. Dear Phil, on Tip Today with Phil Prendergast.
Phil, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Fran. And yourself?
I'm very well indeed. So will we launch into these letters that we have in front of us,
Let's do that.
All right, letter number one. Dear Phil, I'm a mum of three kids and I work full time. Life is busy enough, but I seem to have got stuck in a trap of being a chef every night at dinner. All of my kids are fussy eaters, so I seem to have fallen into the habit of making each of them a different dinner every night. Now, it's not just those three separate dinners, but it's also a normal dinner for me and my husband. So that's four dinners on the trot every night. The only dinner everybody will eat is a roast chicken, but I can't do that every day. I've tried to be stern and say, tough luck, this is the dinner, eat it or starve. But then it's an hour of tears and tantrums until I eventually give in and cook them what they want. My husband has tried to get everybody to eat one dinner, but it's the same reaction, and all it leads to is fighting between all of us. So for an easier life, I just give in. I can't keep going every night spending 2 hours making dinners. I'm wrecked and frustrated. I know I only have myself to blame, but what can I do to change it now?
Oh my goodness. I mean, this obviously, if our children are having tantrums, it would appear as if they're very young in age.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're very young.
So why would the tail be wagging the dog? Do you know what I mean? This woman should just decide that she's going to have roast chicken twice a week because that's what they all like. But why would she be giving them a choice? Why can't she just do out a menu and say, on Mondays we're going to be having sausage and mash. On Tuesdays we're going to have lasagna. Mm. On Wednesday we're going to have a bit of, we'll have eggs and chips. On Thursday we'll have fish fingers and whatever. It's letting your children dictate to turn around after working. How could you even afford that? Four different dinners every day. That would drive me absolutely nuts.
And the notion that tantrums will be thrown and tears shed.
I know is that a friend, well, of course, it was very different because, as people said, geez, she's going to go on about her age again. But, like, we had to eat our dinner or do without. There was not a second choice. There was not, you can have bread or butter. You could either eat your dinner or not. Now, if those children were hungry enough, they will eat anything that's put in front of them. Anything. But the idea that you would let them dictate that they will eat and they'll have something separate every night, not feasible in a household. And the mother needs to just, she really needs to just decide, this is the menus we're having. This is what we're having.
And how do you do that? Do you sit down with them and make some
I would say, lads, every night now we're having this, and this is costing so much money that we're not in a position to actually keep going with that. So because it's now, we have to cut back, we're going to have only one choice every day for dinner. Pick your favourite dinner. What do you like? Oh, right, roast chicken. Right, we're going to have that on Sundays. We'll have it again on Thursday. Mm. Right, there's 2 days sorted. Right? Now, do they like spaghetti bolognese? What favourite dinners have each of them got?
Yes.
So she needs to work with that. So some one of the three of them is going to like what they're getting. But why even would they do separate dinners for herself and her husband if the children's, what the children are having, is it, maybe it's not maybe the best mix of food. Mm. Maybe they're having, and there's nothing wrong with having baked beans on toast or a toasted ham and cheese sandwich or whatever and calling it dinner. It doesn't really matter as long as the child is getting some degree of proper food. But the idea that you let the children dictate and have tantrums because they're not going to get the food they want or they refuse to eat it, they wouldn't refuse it a second night, is all I'm saying.
All right, so have the conversation and just move on with
and,
it.
And have a discussion and let them know exactly why you're cutting out cooking for 2 hours every night and doing all different. I'd no more do it than the man in the moon. Because, Fran, it's expensive.
Of course.
And
it
why
is.
Would you be using even more than... I would tend to do one-pot things, like your savoury mince, and put the potatoes in with it and throw in the vegetables with it. I would do a stir-fry, or I would do whatever. But you're going to use a one-pot mostly, so is that you're being absolutely, like, not you know, mean or something about it.
It's efficiency, isn't it?
It's efficiency, yeah. And you can get very good dinners and you can cook them very, very cheaply. But
2 hours every night making dinners.
For three kids and they all eating something different.
No. On to our second letter then. Dear Phil, my eldest child just turned 17 and discovered the fun and adventure of going out with his friends every weekend. I don't mind this, and I know he has a few drinks, but he seems to be sensible enough about it. He never comes home very drunk. The problem I have with it is that he's out every weekend. He will go out every Friday, Saturday night for a few hours. And when I said to him that he doesn't have to go out every weekend, he looked at me like I was mad. I suggested that maybe they go to the cinema one night instead. But he said all the lads want to go to the pub. I'm worried that he will get addicted to drinking. My family say I'm overreacting and we all did it. And he's just finding his own independence. But I'm so worried about it. Is it something to be worried about, or am I overreacting?
You see, the young fella is 17 now. So in effect, like, he's still within the terms of realizing, I suppose, that he's on the cusp of adulthood and he's going out. Now, I mean, I'm not sure about him having alcohol every weekend is a good idea, but if that's what he's doing, it's better that she knows about it.
Mm.
I don't think he can get addicted to drink because he's going out and enjoying himself. But I do think that it would be very necessary to have some degree of a control on that. He's not yet 18, so he's officially not an adult. And he officially shouldn't be served drink, I suppose, is the legal side of that. And you have to acknowledge that that's a thing. So you'd have to wonder, where is he going that he's getting alcohol and he's underage? Now, Fran, I'm very much a realist and I know that they're so good now at falsifying passes you know, that it's all going to state that somebody is 18 and over so that they're legally entitled to go in and have drinks in places. I think there should be some degree of, like, saying, well, I don't mind you going out one night a week.
Mm.
But I think, you know,
I presume he's not working, so something.
What's
funding it?
Yeah. So yeah, I would have the chat with him. I would say you're spending this is your pocket money or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a legal question here, so I would worry about that insofar as even going out and being served drinks in a pub where he's actually underage. The pub is not liable because if he has a false ID, they're not going to know.
Yes.
But the mam and dad knows. So I think maybe they should have a chat with him and just say, look, at the moment you're underage, I don't mind you having a can here at home or whatever, or having a few of your friends around. But it's actually illegal for you to be going to a pub. And I think you're going to get into trouble over that. And we could get into trouble over it. So, you know, needs to rethink. And I think it does no harm as well if the mam and the dad know the group he's hanging around with. They're probably all lovely young fellas, you know. So we're not saying there's any mischief up here. But, like, they are pushing boundaries by going to the pub when they're actually not the legal age of to course. Go there.
But, Phil, if you're going out two nights a week and if you're drinking with the boys, I mean, you're talking about at least 40 euro a night, maybe more. I mean,
yeah.
Are you not?
Yeah. Well, you would hope you wouldn't be, but the reality is it probably is.
Yeah, so, you know, that money must come from...
It has to come from somewhere. But and if he's not in a position to earn it, well, he must have wealthy mum and dad.
He must indeed. But, like, very it's generous mum and dad.
Yeah,
I mean,
No, I definitely would, you know, have the chat with them and just say, I don't know how feasible this is, that, you know, you should be doing this every weekend. The fact that it's not legal is a real worry for me, because if that was found out, the pub could get into trouble. Mm. Now, they're going to say, but sure, we saw the ID and we know, you know, that's the age they said they were. And that goes on everywhere, Fran. I know it does.
Oh, sure.
You
know. Of course it does, indeed. All right, but have the chat.
Have the chat, absolutely.
Our final letter. Dear Phil, my problem is a minor one, but it's really affecting my confidence. I've always been quite shy and hate being the centre of attention, but lately I'm having a big problem with my cheeks getting rosy red whenever somebody speaks to me. The problem is that when I feel it coming on, I panic a little, and that makes it even worse. I've tried makeup, but it only does so much. It even goes down my chest and I feel like I'll pass out with the heat that it brings on. It's come to the stage now where I avoid going out, or when I have to, I just avoid speaking to people I don't know. Is there anything I can do to hide my rosy cheeks?
There is, actually. Yes, there is. There's a very good product. It's in one of the very popular pharmacies, and it's called a pale green makeup that you put on under makeup, and what it does is it cools and tones down any redness in your skin. Now, I know there's medication you can take as well for this, but this is a very good product, and it's very, now you can look absolutely like death. So if you wanted to get off work or something like that, if you put on some of this and you went upset, I'm not feeling well, you'd be immediately sent home. Or you just put on a layer of this, it completely cools down the look of the skin, because obviously pale green is going to really tone down any redness in your skin, and then you put on a light layer of makeup over it. So she probably hasn't gotten to figure that out, but there's loads of tutorials about makeup and how different issues, and if people get redness and flushing, as they sometimes do in teenage years when there's hormones and all sorts of carry on going on for them. But this is one of the really efficient and effective ways, and I know, because I used to get like that myself.
Did you?
I did.
And what happens? You grow out of it then, is that it?
Absolutely. And also you stop worrying. You don't care as much.
Think about,
but
you
know, back then when we were young like that, you'd be wearing makeup all the time because you could. Now, we were appalling at putting it on, whereas all the kids now putting on makeup, they look amazing, because they have all these tutorials and everything. And, you know, I mean, if you're looking, sometimes when you're on the cusp of learning about how to, you know, draw in the cheekbones and get all things, I mean, this is before people go to the other extent and they're getting plumping up, they're getting Botox and all sorts of things that no young person should ever be getting. But this is a very simple remedy for something that can be very, very embarrassing for young people that are on, say, the cusp of experimenting with makeup. But it's a very good system.
But it's also important for you to say, as in your own, you will grow out of this.
Absolutely. And and again, it's one of those things. There can be certain foods that will spark somebody to get flushed. There will be certain situations, for instance, when we would get nervous when you were younger, and that you'd come out and you'd have all blotches on your neck and on your face, and you'd be thinking, oh, how can I go in? And you just think, what can sort this out? The pale green under makeup product is excellent.
Right.
And it's very, very readily available now in all of those supermarkets, including Penny's and all of those.
Right. Yeah. So there's ways around it.
There's ways around
it. Phil, great to see you as always. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.